holiday of Thanksgiving, and now we're embarking upon the great holiday of Christmas. And for the child of God, it is a great time to remember the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, this morning I was not saying that we ought not to listen to Christmas music. Before anybody goes out and tells that on me, I did not say that. If I said it, I sure didn't mean to say it. But that's sometimes maybe what's perceived. I just happened to mention some Christmas songs that were not Christmas songs, Christmas songs. And so I whistled them too, and I sang them. But Tom said, I don't know why you didn't put in that list, Grandma got run over by a reindeer. I said, because I didn't want anybody thinking about it all the rest of the time. But we are embarking upon the Christmas season, and there are two groups, by the way. We understand that. There is the worldly aspect of Christmas, all concerned about what some have experienced of having everything surrounded around the economics, around what I can get, what I can go after, what I can receive. That's the worldly side of Christmas, and we all enjoy a part of that. We enjoy giving and receiving gifts. If we do that in the right spirit, there's nothing wrong with that. Now, I didn't go on Black Friday. You can talk to my wife about that. She did all that shopping, and she and Amy left out about 9 o'clock, I guess it was, Thursday night, and didn't come back in until 4 o'clock Friday morning. I had the kids. And I know I had more fun than they did. But I told the grandkids, I said, y'all can stay up just as late as you want to. Buddy, I shouldn't have told them that. They stayed up later than I wanted to. Now, James doesn't have any problem. He goes to sleep pretty quick. Now, Rebecca, as long as the TV's on, her eyes are open. And you turn it off, her eyes are closed. And so I walked by and turned it off, and before I got back to bed, she was asleep. It's all over. But we had a good time, and I hope everybody had a good time with the holidays and with the families and friends. And now we look forward to the next one that's coming up. Now, Christmas, and of course a week later, the New Year's is upon us. And certainly we look forward to a time that we call New Year's. A lot of things will go on. A lot of things will continue as they are. For with the Lord there is no breaking of old and new. It's always present with Him, and things will continue as they are. Tonight we will continue our lessons that we've been having for the past 4 or 5 weeks on the twice call or the double call of Scripture. Tonight we will be dealing in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 3. And of course, we understand when we get to this particular portion of Scripture, we'll be dealing with Samuel tonight, and the call that God gave unto him and the details around that. Last Sunday night we studied the call of separation concerning Moses. Tonight we have the call of service that the Lord called unto Samuel. So let's read in chapter 3, 1 Samuel, and beginning in verse number 1. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, the Word of God says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at the time that Eli lay down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. And the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet received revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, Go lie down,
And it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. The Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, that which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I began, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice, nor offering forever. And Samuel lay down the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. And Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he saith unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all of Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, and the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Here we have this third chapter of the book of 1 Samuel, the account given where Samuel is called by the Lord. And we find here that he called him those many times, and he goes and always says, Here am I. We've noticed in all of our, most of the things that we have read, most of the studies that we've had, those that have finally recognized who is doing the calling, they're always willing and always able, and usually say, Here am I, or Here I am, and here Samuel says, Thy servant heareth. And what a good spirit and a good heart that Samuel had to be a servant of the Lord. But there are some things active in the life of Samuel that we need to look at to see how he got from where he was in his own personal life to where he was in the life and the work of the call of God. We find last week that Moses was that one that God called and separated him to be a leader to the nation of Israel in Egypt. Here we find that the foe was revealed and he led them out of Egypt. He led them through the wilderness, and there that flesh is realized, and God has to raise up a new generation of people to go into the promised land. We find that the firstborn of the Egyptians die, and now they go into Canaan land, all under the leadership of Moses, other than going into the land. Of course, Moses was not permitted to go there because of his sin and his smiting the rock when God told him to speak to it. And all the things that Moses did was a call of separation from the world and to the things of God. Now tonight we look upon this man called Samuel, a very important character in the Old Testament, and we find some details about his service to the Lord. And we notice, first of all, some training for Samuel's service, some things that happened in his life. And it goes all the way back to the even before he is born, in that he had a mother that desired to have a child that she could give to the Lord. And what a great thought that is in the life of Samuel, to have a mother and a father that's willing to give their own child back to the service of God. And in 1 Samuel chapter number 1, we find here the desire of Hannah. She desired a man child, and she prayed that the Lord would give her a child that she might give back to the Lord. And I believe when we are really serious with the Lord about our children and serious with the Lord about our home life, I believe that the Lord will honor that and bless that. And Hannah makes a promise to God in verse number 10, in verse 11 of 1 Samuel chapter number 1. The Bible says that she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thy handmaid,
and remember me, and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto me thy handmaid a man-child, I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall be no razor come upon his head." And so we find that Samuel's mother, Hannah, she had a wantonness in her life, in her heart, that she desired to not only just have children, but she wanted a man-child. She wanted a child that she could give to the service of God, where that he might be used of the Lord. And she desires, and this wanting in her heart drove her to God, and drove her to the place where she was willing to say, "God, if you will give me a child, I will give him back to you." And this verse number 11 I put out here beside that, I guess I heard someone preach on it, making application toward faith promise. "God, if you give it, I'll give it back." And that's exactly what mission giving is. That's what all these things that we do for the Lord, it is first He that gives to us, and then we are willing to give back to Him. And the Bible says in verse number 12, "It came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth, and Hannah, as she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken." Oh, she wasn't drunk. She wanted something from God, and she knew how to get a hold of the Lord. And her wantingness drove her to the very presence of God to ask for this child. And she vowed a vow and said, "Lord, if Thou wilt, I will. If you'll give this handmaid, if you'll give me a man-child, then I will give him back unto you and unto the Lord all the days of his life." So there's some background of the family life of this man called Samuel. Samuel lived in a time of great wickedness as he grew, and the Bible gives us some details about the early life and about his birth, and then later on, and how she gives him. She was faithful to her promise. The Bible says in verse number 27 of chapter 1, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I have asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth, and he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. And so Hannah was very very precise in her prayer, and she was very dedicated in what God had done for her. But she was living in a terribly perverse time, because Eli, the priest, was a very weak person. He didn't want to correct his own children. He didn't want to correct those that had done wrong. And the circumstances about the life of Samuel, he saw all these things that was taking place. And Eli was very weak. Look in verse number 27 of 1 Samuel chapter number 2. And the Bible says, "And there came a man of God unto Eli, and said to him, Thus saith the Lord, Did I plainly appear unto thee to the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house, and did not choose him out all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense, to wear the ephod before me, and did not give to the house of thy father all the offerings that the fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at my offering, which I have commanded of my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat, and with the chiefest all the offerings of Israel, my people. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel hath said, I will indeed that thy house, the house of thy father, should walk before me forever. But now the Lord said, Be it far from me, for them that honor me will I honor, and those that despise me shall I lightly esteem. Behold, the day is come, that I will cut off thy arm and the arm of thy father's house, and there shall not be an old man in thy house." Here we find God brings a warning to Eli. Eli's weakness was that he would not correct his own children. And Eli's children were very wicked. His two boys were wicked in every aspect of their life. And he would just say, "Now, boys, you ought not do so wickedly," but he would not do anything to stop the wickedness. And so Eli was very weak as a leader of the people of Israel. And God's going to bring up another man by the name of Samuel that's going to be a strong leader and going to bring rejoicing to the people. Now, we find that the choice of the parents of Samuel, they decided they're just going to they're going to do what they said they'd do, as we read there in verse number 27 of chapter 1. And we find here that they were willing, she was willing to give. And Eli was weak, and now Eli's sons, they were very wicked. Look at verse number 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. Well, that means they had the wrong way of life. Here's the priest of God, and his sons were sons of Belial, or sons of the wicked one. And they knew not the Lord. Isn't that strange? They grew up in a house that should have known the Lord. They grew up in a priest home that he wore the garments of the priest that represented. We've studied those some just recently in our Sunday school. And he was there, and those sons grew up in his house, but they knew not the Lord. And the priest custom was with the people that when at any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servants came, and with the flesh was in seething, the flesh hook of the teeth in his hand, and they stuck it out in the pan, the kettle, and you go on and read down through there that they literally were stealing from the things of God. If you go on and read, you'll find that they were laying with the women of the people of Israel, and they were just wicked in every aspect of their life. And that's where Samuel is. That's where he comes in. This is where God has now called this man Samuel. Samuel. And Samuel said, "Here am I." And so we find that his home was one of delivering unto the Lord. He goes and he spends his time with Eli, the priest, and he sees the wickedness, and the parents have chosen to give him to the Lord. The Bible says when they had weaned him, they took him with her, with three bullocks and one ephah of flour. And then it says in verse number 25, they slew the bullock and brought the child to Eli and said, "O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord." She said, "You remember me? You thought I was drunk, but I was the woman that was praying, and I prayed for a child, and here he is. The Lord has answered my prayer." And so she says, "I prayed, and the Lord gave, and now I give him back." What a wonderful blessing it is to be able to pray to the Lord, know that He hears our prayer, He answers our prayer, and then we can give back to the Lord what we have promised Him. The problem is sometimes, and I'm sure all of us have experienced this if we've done very much dealing with people, there are folks that will promise the Lord everything when they're flat on their back. They'll promise the Lord, "God, if you'll heal me, if you'll get me out of the hospital, or if you'll get me out of this predicament, I'll do anything you ask me to do." And the Lord gets them out of it, and all of a sudden they're right back where they were. You never see them in the work of the Lord. Better be careful making a promise to God that you don't keep. Better be careful quickly saying things and then not doing that. And so Samuel's parents had cultivated him and had gotten him ready to do the work that God had, and his mother gave him over to the Lord early in his life, and said the Lord can have him all the days of his life. What a wonderful picture that is. And that's the training that Samuel had for the service that he is about to do for Israel. What a wonderful story, how that God gave and God blessed and God honored. Here in the midst of a priest that was very weak and sons that were very wicked, there's a young man by the name of Samuel. God didn't call the weak again. He didn't call the wicked. He called this young man Samuel. And as Samuel lay down to rest, and as it was time for the night to be upon them, Eli had laid down, and as they were there, Samuel hears the voice of the Lord calling him. And the Lord called Samuel. And every time he answered, he said, "Here am I." Here's the willingness on his part. He thought it was Eli. He was willing to do whatever Eli wanted him to do. That's part of his training. That's part of his work. And you know, sometimes God puts us through some training that we don't necessarily like. We don't necessarily want to do. But God trains us to do some things maybe that we don't want, because He wants to equip us to do some things that be useful in His service. And Samuel was there, and he was serving Eli. And he hears the voice of the Lord. And these times he says, "Here am I." And Eli finally perceived that it was the Lord. He said, "I'm not calling you." And maybe he thought Samuel was having a dream, or maybe he thought he was just hearing a voice. But whatever it was, finally Eli came to the perception. He said, "Now, if you hear the voice again, you just say, 'Here am I.'" Eli perceived it was the Lord that called him. And so the Lord came and stood and called
as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. That ought to be the attitude of every believer's heart. Lord, you speak to me. I'm your servant, and I will hear. God, you speak to me, and I'll tell you what, it's a great thing when the Lord speaks to us. It's a wonderful thing when God, through His Word, will speak to us. Now, we don't hear audible voices like Samuel did. We're not living in that particular economy because we have the completed Word of God. We have the finished work. And we have this message here that God speaks to our heart in that way. We ought to have the same attitude of heart and say, Lord, would you speak to me because I'm your servant and I will hear you. And then, thank God, we can do what God wants us to do and follow Him in His direction. So that's the training Samuel lived in that type of atmosphere. He saw the wickedness, he saw all the problems, but yet he was willing to serve the living God. And he said, thy servant heareth, speak now, because I'm listening. And I believe if Christians today would have that attitude, we find we'd have a much better life, we'd have a much better way of serving the Lord and honoring Him if we would just be willing. Now let's notice here, we've already noted some of the things, but Samuel's time of his appointment was a time of great apostasy toward God. It was a time of wickedness. It was a time of ungodliness. The Bible says the light went out there in the temple, or the tabernacle. We find that the light grew dim. The Bible says there was no open vision. But the one thing it says about it, that the Word of the Lord was precious in those days. And so we find there is still that particular life that Samuel had around all these things around him. And Eli was unable to discern the times, and he just wasn't really too keen upon taking care of wickedness because his sons were wicked. And I think Brother Gallagher came in tonight and said, I sure hope you don't preach on gluttony tonight. I said, you don't preach on what you're guilty of. And so we don't. And Eli was not going to preach on what his family was guilty of. They were guilty of all these sins and all these things that was in the house of the Lord and on the outside and laying with all the prostitutes and made prostitution of the people of Israel. Eli wasn't going to do anything about that because his sons were involved in that. And that's why God had to raise up another man by the name of Samuel. Eli's sons were wicked, sons of Belial. But yet they were there in the house of the Lord. Over in 1 Samuel chapter 4, you find that Eli had a grandson. His name is called Ichabod. We're all acquainted with Ichabod. His name means the Lord hath departed. And so he had a grandson and named him appropriately so, Ichabod. The Bible says in chapter 4, verse number 21, it says, and she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. That ark that we've been studying about in the Sunday school had been removed, had been taken, stolen away. This son is born, and she calls him Ichabod. The glory hath departed. And oh my, how sad that is to see a glory depart from a great people and a great nation, and even could have been a great family. And so the time of Samuel's appointment was a time of great wickedness. But I find that God always has people, always has His, in the Old Testament, He had His prophets that would stand, even in the midst of discouragement, even in the midst of possible death. He always had His prophets that were willing to stand and proclaim, thus saith the Lord. That's what got Jeremiah in a lot of trouble. He said, thus saith the Lord. God gave him the message, and Jeremiah would preach it. Isaiah would take the message that God had given him to a wicked people, and he would preach it. God's always had people that will stand and proclaim truth. May God continue to help us to stand for truth and righteousness. And so we find here that the Bible tells us at this time, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither had the Word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. But the Lord came unto Samuel and said, Samuel, Samuel. And he said, here am I. And we find that in the midst of all kind of apostasy and difficulty, God gave him an appointment in chapter 3 and verse 1. Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. He did the things that was prominent and he did those things that should have been done. He knew about the work of God, but he didn't know God. There's a lot of people like that today. There's a lot of people that know about the work of God. There's a lot of people that know about God. Many of them do not know Him personally. And that's why we are in such a discouraging time and a discouraging place. Because there's a lot of folks that go through the actions. They go through the motions of religion, but they've never come to a realization that they're sinners and need the Lord Jesus Christ. So Samuel was ministering unto the Lord, but the Bible said he had not yet been revealed to him. He was just doing what he was told. He knew about the rituals of the tabernacle, but he didn't know about God's service. But God said, "Now, Samuel, I've got a job for you. I've got a place for you." And thank God tonight, God has a job and a place for all of us if we be willing. If we just say, "Hear my Lord," and just say, "I'm here, hear my," and when God speaks to us about certain things, and I don't know what it would be in your life, I don't know what it might be in my life, but I do believe the Lord speaks to us through His Word and through the meditation of His Word and the meditation of our hearts upon God. I believe He speaks to us about certain things that He has for us to do. We believe in a called ministry. We believe God calls preachers to preach. And somebody said, "How do you know you're called?" Well, you just know it. I can't explain it. I've never found a preacher yet that could explain how they know. You just know because God has given you that desire in your heart and that call upon your life, and you just know it. God, we believe that God has a place and a pattern, a place for all of us to serve Him. And Samuel had a place, and God's going to mold him and make him, and God's going to put him in a position that he is remembered as one of the great, great men of God. He's a prophet and a priest. He is one that is a prophet, but he's also a priest. And he's very, very usable in the work of the Lord. It all goes back to his home life. All goes back to his mother and to his father. And the training that he had, even from Eli, that was very, very old. His eyes were dim. And he could not see, the Bible says. So that's the time of his appointment. The training is in his own home, in the temple. And the time is a time when the lights are growing dim. The lights are going out. There's no vision. The Bible says, when you come to the end of the scriptures there in Judges, concerning the judges, and this is just a little bit past that, and the Bible says, in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. They just did what they wanted to do, and this is some of the reasons for that and the results of it. And now let's notice the attitude towards service. And these things that we notice here tonight gives us some things about the character of this man, Samuel, that became a great, great man because of, I believe, these three things that we'll mention. First of all, is his stability. He knew where he stood, and he was willing to stay there. He was not swayed by public opinion, as so many people are today. He was not swayed by the call of mankind, but he knew exactly what God wanted him to do, and he was very stable in his life and in his work. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 17, and the Lord, in verse number 17, and he said, "What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me, for all the things he has said unto thee." And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good." Eli said, "Samuel, it's the Lord that's spoken to you. You just do what the Lord tells you to do." And certainly, you study the life in more detail than we can get into tonight of this man by the name of Samuel, you'll find that he literally was very steadfast in the things that God told him to. He had to make some stands at different times that was not popular with people. Many times we as people of God, we have to do things sometimes that's not popular with the people, but it's right with God. And we always let God be true, every man a liar. It has to be God's way or no way, because if we compromise on what we believe and where we stand, then we are in trouble with the Lord. And I'd rather be in trouble with man than in trouble with God. And so Samuel was very stable in his life. Eli said, "You just do God whatever God tells you, do you do it?" And he did make some stands. And there was a time when Israel demanded a king. They said, "We want a king like everybody else." Notice in chapter number 8, and the Bible says in 1 Samuel 8 and verse number 5, "And he said unto him, Behold, thou art old, the sons walk not in the ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel. And they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord." Here we find that the people are saying to Samuel, now he is, these chapters have gone by and he has become an elderly man. And the nation of Israel said, "We want a king like everybody else." You know, when you get to be wanting like everybody else, you got a problem. And a lot of Christians tonight, they want to be like everybody else. Well, that shows they have a problem. And Israel wanted a king like all the other nations. They said, we want to know and we want to be able to see a man that is our leader. And what really they were doing was they were rejecting the leadership and the ownership of God over them. They were rejecting the theocracy that God had placed over them, that God was their leader and God would use the kings, God would use the judges, God would use the priests to give to the people the will of God. But they said, "We don't want that. We want a king like everybody else." And the Bible says here that when they came to Samuel and they said, "You're getting old." They said, "You're archaic. You're out of date, Samuel. We need something fresh and new. We want a king." And the Bible says it displeased Samuel. And they cried the more, "Give us a king." And what did Samuel do? Notice verse number 6. "And Samuel prayed to the Lord." Now notice the answer. "The Lord said to Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them out of Egypt, even to this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice. Howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them." God says to Samuel, here these many years has passed now, God and Samuel have had conversation after conversation. The people said, "We want a king." Samuel says, "That's not right. That's not the way it should be." And it displeased Samuel. And so he prays to the Lord. And the Lord says, "Samuel, you just hearken to their voice. But now when you do this, when you tell them, okay, you hearken to them, you tell them what kind of king they're going to have. You tell them what I'm going to send them." And he says, "Hearken to their voice, howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them." So I believe Samuel was a man that took his stand. And God says, "You protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them." And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked him a king. And he said, "This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots and for his horsemen. Some shall run before his chariots, and he will appoint him captains over thousands and captain over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he would take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he would take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. He will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyard yards and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them in his work.
And he will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out the day because your king, which you have, ye shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear for you, not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, "Nay, but we will have a king over us." Brother, they got what they wanted. They got exactly what they asked for. And just a little while, Saul is chosen to be king. Now, Saul looked really well. I mean, he had all the wares about him, the stateliness and the of kingliness. Saul was a very wicked man. And when Saul got through with them, he took their men servants, their maid servants, he took their land. And what they were doing now, they said, "We want a king. Now, if you're going to have a king, you've got to have a kingdom. And if you have a kingdom, you've got to pay for it. We call it taxes." And God says, "Now, you can have this king. He's going to reign over you, but this is what it's going to cost you." And it cost them much, much more. But Samuel was firm in his stand and firm in his life. And he just simply did what God told him to do as a servant. He says, "He's going to take you for everything that you have." But they said, "We will have a king over us, that we may be like all the nations, that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles." And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, "Hearken unto thy voice, make them a king." And Samuel said to the men of Israel, "Go ye every man to his city." And then the next chapter gives us where Saul is chosen to be king. Give us a king. We want a king. We want one that's like everybody else. Saul is made king, and Samuel is that priest during that time. Saul goes away from God, terribly away from the Lord. But Samuel still had a place in his heart. The Bible tells us in verse number 1 of chapter 16, the Lord said to Samuel, "How long are you going to mourn for Saul?" Saul has died. Samuel's in mourning. And God says to Samuel, "How long are you going to mourn for him?" And he says, "Seeing I have rejected him." How long are you going to mourn for that one I've rejected? And I've rejected him from reigning over Israel. Fill thy horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king. Well, there's a great difference in man's king and God's king. And Samuel was that man that was used of God in his servitude of life, of serving the Lord. It all comes down to one time he heard God say, "Samuel, Samuel." And he was instructed and he said, "Speak, Lord, thy servant here." And I believe those words are echoed throughout all the life of Samuel, always desiring for the Lord to speak, because he was the one that was listening and he was able to do what God had for him to do. The people wanted a king. God gave him a king. Samuel mourned when he died. He knew what had taken place. He understood all the problems. But God said, "Now, Samuel, it's time for you to quit mourning. Take the oil and you go. I've rejected Saul. He's dead. I've rejected his house. And they'll not reign in his stead." He said, But I have provided me a king among the sons of Jesse. And of course we know that that king was none other than David. God had a king. Man had a king. It's still that way today. Man has their king. It's self. It's attitude. It's prosperity. Man has his own king. Sometimes it's just himself. But I'm glad God has given us a better and greater king. His name is Jesus. He's the greater David. And as David is a type of Christ, we see here that Samuel was a man that was a servant of the Lord. It was a call to service. "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." May that be our heart and our attitude tonight, as God would speak to us about whatever it might be in our life. It may be about
certain decisions we need to make. It may be about sin in our life that we need to deal with. Whatever God deals with us, we ought to have the heart of saying, Lord, You speak and I'll hear. And then when we hear, we are to be very faithful to do what He says. And Samuel's life was filled with faithfulness. So may God bless us as we follow Him and the direction that He gives. And may we always have the heart and attitude of saying, Lord, You speak, I'll listen. If we do that, God will bless in every aspect of our life. Let's stand together tonight. And